Hi everyone, and welcome to Press X, the Geek Show's dedicated choose your own adventure video games podcast. I am Rob. I am a text-based adventurer. Joining me today are also the other text-based adventurers in my party. Over there is the mage wizard sorcerer supreme. I think that's a type of food, maybe. Mark.
Hello, you can't date me. I am not one of those waifus yet.
Yes. And over there is our current barbarian hero with the giant brass hand, Andy.
Ah, yes. I thought it was a stone hand, but I'll take brass hand over anything, I think.
No, it ended up as a brass hand after the troll daddy got his hands on you, remember?
That sounds so wrong.
It's an old Geek Show adventure special.
We'll have to carry that on someday.
Yes, we will resurrect the adventures at some point when we gather more party members. And they killed a fire demon by running it over with a fire truck.
I'm not even gonna get into what our Dungeons and Dragons thing ends up like.
Well, this was kind of a D&D, but without the dice rolling and stuff like that, it wasn't meant to be serious in any way.
Ours was D&D, except we just finished watching Monster Musume and we were reading Dungeon Meshi.
In our multi-part adventure on the Geek Show, not only did they kill a fire demon by running it over with a fire truck, they also, Andrew and his coat of many pockets, also kind of caused the end of the world by inciting a rebellion of Santa's elves by introducing them to the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, Andrew, why did you want to do that?
Exactly.
Those shows are almost highly rated shows.
Yeah, I know.
For our audience at the minute.
He got the elven proletariat to rise up and revolt. And those are words that no fantasy author in history has ever said. The elven proletariat.
I've been playing a choose your own adventure, except it's one of those visual novel dating games. Well, you know, you all know how much I like Girls and Panzer.
Yes. Yes.
I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. Just bear with us. It's on my desktop. It is Panzermad Tank Dating Simulator.
What?
Oh, okay.
The girls are panzers. It's literally tanks who are girls, and you can date them.
Is this basically Kantai Collection?
Basically. Oh. Only with tanks.
Yeah, only with tanks. Oh, God. I've got to say, World of Tanks would be a very different game.
Oh, God, it would be. I got it in the Steam sale. I think it was like $2.99. I was just like, yeah, that's just ridiculous enough that I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. What about you, Andy? Have you been playing anything?
I've been playing The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Oh, I heard that's good.
I think it's brilliant, but Life is Strange, it has its positives and it has its really depressing side.
Isn't it like One Kid and His Imagination?
Yeah, but it's got really, for example, really serious themes attached to it. So it's got that Life is Strange feel.
Okay. So it's not a complete rip-off of Calvin and Hobbes doing Spaceman Spiff, then?
No, it's a Life is Strange-esque adventure in a kid's world. So no doubt we'll be talking about it on future shows.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's one to watch. Definitely one to look out for. It's free as well. So
free is good. So you didn't buy anything in the Steam sale then?
Oh no. I bought quite a bit in the Steam sale.
You didn't spend far too much money?
No. I limited myself this time. Yeah. It's dangerous when you don't limit yourself.
Did you spend a lot of money, Mark, in the Steam sale?
I spent like £20. Maybe it's just me. I don't know why. I'm really stingy when it comes to Steam. If I see something that's like £20, I'll just be like, I'm not buying that. I'd say all the stuff I bought was like £2-3. So I ended up with like about 6 games.
Is the Steam sale still on?
Till tonight. Oh, well, damn.
Right. I know what I'm doing after we're recording, because I didn't know the Steam sale is on because I was too busy playing Onrush and Gravel.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both racing games, but very, very different. See, Gravel Gravel is one of those rally type things, but they tried to make rally kind of extreme. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's rally. It doesn't need to be any more extreme.
How can you get extreme rally, though?
Well, they kind of found a way, but it kind of left it. This is how it happened. I started off playing Gravel, thought, oh, great, a rally game. Played the first four races and then stopped. And it wasn't stopped from any intention of mine. It stopped me because the game then wanted me to download extra tracks. And I thought, no. So I basically put in Onrush. As soon as I started playing Onrush, I thought, this is a bit too vibrant. It's a bit like MotorStorm and things like that. But then I got to racing and I thought, hang on. Someone put Burnout into this game. And then I started having a lot of fun with it.
can you make big crashes like in Burnout?
Oh yeah, you can totally wipe out in them. One of my favourite ones is where you basically do a boost jump and you land on top of someone else's car and flatten them.
See, that was the thing I always loved about Burnout, was that option, I think it was like the side quest mode where you just had to make as much damage as possible.
Oh yeah, and Onrush is a bit of a strange game, because it's one of those ones where if you take it online, you can race against other teams of players. And the races are quite familiar. You go around a track a couple of times and basically, well, I say track, it's basically countryside that you're tearing up. But you go around it a couple of times, causing as much damage and mayhem as possible. You remember Destruction Derby that used to be on the PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
Think kind of like that, but mixed with Burnout and, I don't know, one of those arena races where you have to beat another team. It's got a nice multiplayer option, but it is a lot of fun even in single player.
Who plays Burnout for the races, though?
I said the only reason I played Burnout was to crash things, and then I was like, I don't know anybody who actually played it for the races, and people were like, well, actually, you'll find everybody plays it for the races. And I was like, I found people who play it for the races.
And who told you that? Because they were clearly lying.
I know, that's what I thought. I was just like, that's all I remember from Burnout, was just that mode where you can crash cars.
Yes, the crash junctions. Was this Burnout 3 or Burnout 2? Because Burnout 3 was the best, in my opinion.
It was the one I had for the GameCube, so I want to see it's the second one. Point of Impact.
Right. If you ever get a chance to play Burnout 3, I don't think it came out on the GameCube, but if you ever get a chance to play it on the PS2 or the Xbox, give it a try. You won't be disappointed. Burnout introduced this whole thing about crash junctions. You have, like, this junction, just like a crossroads or something, and you have, like, cars parked all over, and you basically have to drag race down the road and basically jump off a ramp into the middle of the cars and cause as much damage and carnage as possible.
I'm sure they had a very similar one in there, number two as well, where you had, that was like a full mode where you just had to cause as much damage as possible.
I mean, this is
usually by going down the wrong way down a motorway and then into like a train or something ridiculous.
Yeah, this was basically, it's all set up for you. You don't have to do anything. You just basically, it's just there. You have. And it's just basically all about points. That's one of the things.
That's what the second one was like on the second one. I don't know if that was the original mode, then they expanded on it for the third one or something.
Yeah, because I think in the third one, that's when they finally started calling it Crash Junctions. So anyway, yeah.
I think the main argument today and the main topic today will probably be on video games consoles. And that is because, do you know the big mammoth company that owns the internet and probably owns the world called Google?
Ah, Google. I thought you were going to go with another company like the United States of America.
Is Google similar to Booble?
No, that's Bublé. I think you're mispronouncing it. Yeah.
Michael Bublé.
Yes. Bublé.
Well, it probably has an option to sing you that. To speak in that voice if you search it, no doubt, eventually.
I'm sorry, but I just want to Booble it now.
I wouldn't Google Booble.
Well, Booble's a thing. At least be like 20 years ago.
I think I'll go blind if I Google Booble.
Don't Google Booble.
Google Booble.
No, don't Google Booble.
But anyway, Google.
How are we spelling Booble, by the way?
Booble.
Is it B-O-O-B or B-U-B?
No, B-O-O-B-L-E.
Yeah, that's just Booble, Rob.
Yeah, you don't want to Google Booble. Trust me.
Hang on, let's see. Google Booble.
Well, you've got two options.
You can... Oh, no, you don't want to Google Booble.
Google Booble, or you can Google Bublé, and either way, you're probably going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Apparently, according to what I've just read, Booble was the porn version of Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't Google Booble.
anyway, enough of the Booble.
Now it's time to delete my search history, I think. Anyway, Google, not Booble, yes. Haven't announced, it's strongly rumoured, but from the evidence that they've given, that Google could be in the running to release a console in the next generation. So, upon starting to read, you think, oh, brilliant, more competition, but as soon as you get further down the article, it mentioned it'll be a strictly streaming console, similar to, if you remember, an online service called OnLive.
Yeah.
Which I think it went out of business either a few years or about a year ago.
I think they got bought out. I think they got bought out by Sony, because Sony bought Gaikai, which was supposedly OnLive's main competitor. I know that you've got other streaming services now, like Playkey and stuff like that, which do online video game streaming. But if Google's getting into the console streaming market, that's a bit of an odd move, and they're about 15 years too late to the party, aren't they?
Yeah, just think as well, Nintendo at the minute, the Resident Evil 7 announcement, where you pay around about 20 quid for Resident Evil 7, and that's just to stream it, so you don't actually own the game. That was very negative.
What? Yeah, it's like when Microsoft did it, not long ago, wasn't it? Like when the Xbox was about to get announced.
Yeah,
that was a lot of people expected, and Microsoft kind of went that way with the whole you own these games and stuff like that, and that went down like a lead balloon as well. So. Have we moved on enough since then
to make
this more viable?
The thing is, when you get outside the major console manufacturers, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, when you get outside of them, you enter this weird land of video game consoles that you've never heard of. And I mean, right up at the top is stuff like Valve's Steambox, because I know some people who actually went and got a Steambox, but I also know many, 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 many people who just went out and bought a better PC.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Including the two of you.
Yeah. Well, I've seen, obviously with Google, you think Android, and there's plenty of Android tablets out there.
Yeah.
They're going with, I'm thinking the popularity of the Google Store type of thing, where they've got a lot of games selling well on there. But I've seen many... And I mean, far too many consoles, specifically handheld consoles, that rely on Android. And there's a YouTuber called Metal Jesus. I've watched many of his videos.
Yeah.
And he reviews these. And the majority of them aren't very good.
Well, I mean,
they're cheaply made. And
the best of the bunch is probably stuff like the Razer K1 and stuff like that, which is coming from a reputable video games peripheral and computer manufacturer. Razer have been noteworthy for a number of years, so that one is probably going to be a better build quality than some knockoff from China or something like that. But you're getting now, see, what's happened with the tablet market and with mobile phones as well, a lot of these are made over in countries like China, and they've spent years making these things, so they've picked up the know-how and the technology of how to make them, so they started making their own.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we're getting, and Android being accessible to all sorts of people. You know, you'll get these tablets running Android 5 or something like that, or whatever version of Android it was at that point.
That also brings up a point as well. You get all these custom things coming with an Android operating system. It doesn't matter what type of Android it is. It's usually a custom one somewhere. But I can honestly see, not just Google, but I can see Apple, even though it's rumoured, because of how strict they are with their operating system. I can see Apple really getting into this in the next let's say 10 year or something like that.
I'm really surprised that Apple haven't actually already tried to do a games console.
They did.
Oh, they did.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did. They tried and failed. Seriously, I was going to say Google it. Don't Google it. Google it.
But yeah, it was during, it was about the 80s or 90s, wasn't it? Round about then. So
I think it was
like
the retro
type games that they were trying.
Yeah,
so.
The Apple Bandai Pippin, it was called. And it was released in 1996.
Wow.
Same time as PlayStation. I wonder why it never sold much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at that point it went up against both the PS1 and the N64, didn't it? And yeah, Apple wasn't really... Well, I mean, it was still a big game, but it wasn't as much of a household name as it is now.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just the PlayStation and the N64. There was the Sega Saturn as well.
Yeah, but...
But that was the Sega Saturn, which kind of died on its arse as well.
That's like saying the Dreamcast as a major competitor to the PS2. It's like,
as much as I love the Dreamcast, I would never say it was a major competitor to the PS2. It was technologically, it was superior, but we've just had a situation with Nintendo themselves where they've released a console that technologically is a very, very good machine in terms of its concept. It's a very, very good machine, but was it a success? Was it hell? The Wii U.
Yeah.
It's fair to say that was Nintendo's Dreamcast moment, wasn't it? Thankfully, Nintendo were a much more stable company than Sega were at the time of the Dreamcast.
They had the 3DS to fall back on, really, didn't they?
Yeah, Sega didn't really have anything to fall back on. So,
and don't forget, Nintendo are basically the only major handheld in the market right now.
Now they are. Didn't you, Sony?
Yeah, and you know what messed them up? It's the same thing that Sony does every single time. I don't know what the executives at Sony are thinking of, but they just seem to... They're like, you know those seagulls in Finding Nemo where they go, mine, 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 right? With the PSP, you could use just a normal SD card. As soon as you got to the PS Vita, you have to use Sony's proprietary SD card, which is going to cost you 3 times more than a standard SD card of the same size. But no, we won't let you use a normal SD card, which the 3DS allowed you to do that. Why won't Sony? Oh, because the technology doesn't work that way. Don't give me that nonsense. The technology does work that way. We're not all idiots.
Yeah, but they've been doing that for years, Rob. They've been doing that since UMDs. If you remember those.
Yeah, but the thing is, I didn't mind the UMDs as much because they weren't a major format in the first place, okay? But when it comes to the PS Vita, is an amazing piece of technology.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Definitely.
It is an amazing piece of technology. And games like Tearaway really highlight just how good the machine is. The reason why it failed is because of the bloody memory card.
There's that, and I mean... I kind of feel like after the first year, Sony kind of abandoned it as well. I mean, still got a lot of support in Japan.
Yeah.
But, like, Sony, I mean, we've got an Uncharted, we've got Tearaway, we've got a Little Big Planet.
Gravity
we've got
Rush,
a handful of other stuff thrown at it in the first year, and then after that they were just like, this isn't selling.
Do you know why that was, though? That literally is because of the memory card, because people bought the PlayStation Vita, thinking, oh yes, this is the next era in handheld video gaming. This is such a good machine. But then they hit the snag of, I want to download a game. This memory card's not big enough. I need a bigger memory card. I don't want to keep deleting games and downloading them off my system. Why can't you do me a memory card that's bigger, Sony? No, we only do 16 and 32.
Were expensive as well, though, weren't they? Like, I vaguely remember paying like £40 for a 32 gig, I think, card or something like that. Or might even have only been the 16 ones.
I was going to say you got ripped off there if you paid £40 for 32 megabytes.
Yeah,
I'd go and get one.
But Sony got you good there.
Something that's worth knowing is that Sony's actually stopped making them now, so those are going to go up and up in price if you want to continue buying games for the Vita, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, much like the Wii U, it kind of failed as a console, but there is a lot of really good stuff on there.
Yeah, I mean, the Japanese markets have been kind of supporting the Vita for years, but Sony is still doing their usual shtick when it comes to being selfish and proprietary about their properties.
Yeah, it's not coming up to bite them in the arse at the moment, like, is it? You can't play Fortnite if you've already played.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you can't play Fortnite with your friends who happen to play Fortnite on a PC or an Xbox One or something like that because you're playing it on a PlayStation 4.
Do you know what annoys me the most about that? I mean, I'm not an online player, really. I mean, I've actually been playing Splatoon 2 online, so I'm getting there. I'm into the online scene now. But I'm not an online player, but the thing that really annoyed me was the fact that people were saying that if you've... Like, Fortnite is free, but if you've created an account, if you create it on, say, the Xbox or the Switch, then log into it on your PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And then locks you out of the Xbox and Switch.
That's a stupid thing. Mm.
So basically, they're locking out a title that isn't even their own property, that people have potentially paid money for, and there's not really much of a real reason except Sony want to sell more PlayStations.
See, is kind of on the same level as, remember when the Xbox One came out and people started saying, so... how do I share my video games with my friend if my friend wants to borrow my, if I've got a copy of this and my friend wants to borrow it? And Microsoft suddenly said, no, you can't.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I mean, I tend to find that when a console manufacturer is in the lead, they get very cocky.
And now, very lazy.
Oh, yes.
And very
Sony
lazy.
Had a huge lead from the end of the PS2. And then they kind of had the whole shenanigans with the PS3 launch, where that didn't do very well. Nintendo then had the whole thing with the Wii, big massive thing.
Which did do well. It did do very, very well.
And, exactly.
And for all those gamers listening who spit their dummies out whenever someone says the Wii is a console, the Wii is a console. Get a grip on yourselves.
I like to class Nintendo, though, on its own. Because I don't think competing-wise...
No, Nintendo...
I'd say now they're more on their own, because they kind of do their own thing. But I think back then, they were kind of competing a little bit more.
Do you know what it is, right? This is how I see the video games console manufacturers. And PC, I'm including in this as well. It's like a classroom of children. Sony is the jock, the one who thinks he's cock of the walk but doesn't realise that he's basically left skid marks on his tighty whities and that everyone can see them because they're hanging way down his backside. You know, like the modern fashion trend decides. So that's Sony, the jock. Microsoft is the brainy kid. They're always into their technology and everything like that. Think about it. It's true, isn't it? Microsoft is the brainy kid.
Oh, definitely.
Nintendo is the weird kid who's sat kind of in the corner at the back, who's always making up their own games with their own rules, and who's a lot of fun to be around, but if you hang around them a little bit too long, you start getting creeped out.
If, for example, we don't need your first-person shooters, we've got Mario and all these different
characters.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. You hang around Nintendo a bit too long, you start getting creeped out. It's the eyes. The eyes are all the same. They haunt me in the night.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the PC manufacturers who were generally kind of there. They're kind of the background children in the class who, you know, you go to school with them, but after you leave school, you can never remember their names, even when you meet them in the street. And they go, and they say to you, hi, how you doing? I haven't seen you in years. You're like, I don't know who you are. Who are you? I know I went to school with you. You start having that mild.
Oh, God, Bell.
Yeah. You start having that mild panic attack about. That's the PC manufacturers, because that's exactly them, isn't it?
Pretty much.
So, what did you think of my description?
See, I would say I agree, but the PC ones are kind of the ones who come and shit on everybody else.
That's what I mean. Eventually, they will. One of them will come good, because they have the mob mentality, remember? PC Master Race and all that. But, here's the thing. Google has always been kind of the teacher of the class.
Mm.
But now Google wants to be one of the kids.
I always class, I think I'll class the PC as the teacher of the class because they're trying to get to work with all these different.
Actually, that might actually be true. Andy, I'm just thinking about it.
Fit, this group in with this group. And I say this as a recently qualified teacher, that you're always trying to get this group to work with this group, and that group doesn't want to work with this group because they're so strict that they don't want to work with that group.
That's just changed my class dynamic for video games consoles, right? This works better. Follow me on this, right? So we know what Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft are, right? So if we go with what Andy's just said then, Google would then be the rich transfer student who everyone wants to make friends with, right? And PC would be the school teacher who's a little bit past his prime but is still trying to be cool to the kids. What do you think?
I agree. However, I had another idea for the transfer student.
Oh, was that Garland?
Well, I had the idea that it was actually Nokia who walk in with the special taco to the ear and just go, "Hi guys, do you want to play?" Everyone just kind of shuns them, and then Nokia leaves the class forever.
Hey, don't forget the amazing thing that was the N-Gage.
Can't forget the N-Gage.
They had an amazing idea. It was just too early.
Oh. Can you remember when the N-Gage defeated the Game Boy Advance, like everybody predicted, and then went on to rule the handheld market?
I remember those times, like the bat, like it was yesterday. No, this actually works. This does work. But I think rather than having Nokia as the transfer student, I think Google should stay the rich transfer student that everyone wants to make friends with. I think Nokia's already in the class, but he's a bit like Gunther from The Simpsons. You know what I'm talking about.
Is that the one that keeps being sick?
No, he's you know the one with the lederhosen.
I know what you mean, yeah. Who mysteriously disappears and they keep thinking that he's being killed off or something.
Yes, that's the one. So he's a bit like Gunther. Sega are the overly hyperactive child who suffers from something, but nobody's quite sure what. That's a Sonic reference, by the way.
I was going to say, Sega's the furry. The furry who is obviously a furry just comes to school every day in the Sonic onesie. Every now and again, they'll have something else like Yakuza or Valkyria Chronicles, but almost every single day, they'll be in that Sonic onesie.
See, and don't forget as well.
That's why I was saying Sega's the hyperactive one. He's just kind of bouncing off the walls.
You've got the little student that always fantasizes about sci-fi aliens, and that's Atari.
I feel like Atari's the janitor who's kind of been in the classroom, just be like, "I was relevant once."
Yeah, he's the one who keeps threatening the kids if they keep running in the halls and muddying the and making and dragging their mud all over the floor. He's going to bury them in the desert.
I think this is a good time to say for any listeners, what are you?
Yeah, actually, where would you fit into our class, into our console classroom? Because I think we've got a good thing going here.
I'm just trying to think of any more, you know, any more obscure.
You've got those manufacturers like Razer who basically are doing their own thing, kind of thing. But that's one of the reasons why I was thinking the PC originally was kind of the rest of the classroom whose names you don't remember because they all look the same.
I always think of Razer wearing a blazer.
Students,
you know. No, I don't mean that just because it rhymes, although that was quite clever.
Those
posh ones that are always a bit richer than you, and we don't do as much as you, but we can charge as much. Apple.
Yeah.
Even though I am a fan of Apple.
Actually, that's a good thing.
What Apple are.
No. I like what you've done there. You've introduced Apple, and we do have to have Apple somewhere in there, because mobile phones and tablets are a massive games market, so we have to include them somewhere in our video game classroom, don't we? Facebook's there as well. So how do we let's make these two the last ones, because we need to close the show off at some point. This is a lot of fun though.
We'll have to continue this on another show sometime. Oh,
I know, we've still got the Neo Geo to go.
Well, the Neo Geo is basically he's the student who keeps getting held back.
The Neo Geo is the one that can dodge bullets.
No, the Neo Geo is the one who just keeps getting held back, and you know the teacher uses them as an example of you know how you shouldn't live your life. It's true, though. People keep bringing the Neo Geo back, don't they?
Yes, it's back. I think it is back. Was it last year they released another one?
Exactly. They keep coming back to the Neo Geo. So
it's always been around. They've released nearly all of the back catalogue on the Switch now, so it's just kind of like...
Yeah. No, for anybody that didn't own a Neo Geo, that's probably everybody. Everybody that's under the age of 30, I think now. Under 40 or something like that.
I know what Apple is. I know what Apple is. Apple's the teacher's pet who gives the teacher a piece of fruit every day and has that sense of... He basically has that overweening sense of pride that he's the teacher's pet. And so by extension, he's better than everybody else in the class. What do you think? Does that work with Apple?
Commodore 64 is that old, run-down guy who just needs a load of coffee just to start up on... Only lasts for about a minute before dozing back off again.
I think the C64 is one of those older teachers. If we're doing this on the school basis, same with the Commodore Amiga, who's a slightly younger and better looking and, you know, has a slightly better build, but, you know, isn't attractive these days to the younger generation. The ZX Spectrum, they're really long in the tooth. The ZX Spectrum keeps coming back to the school, even though he's officially retired.
I think he probably turns up like 20 minutes late because he can't just load his game.
Yeah. What was the other one that I mentioned? We mentioned Apple. What was the other one that we needed to fit in? Facebook, that was it. Facebook is the other video games platform. We need to fit them in the classroom.
Yeah, but they're on virtual reality now.
Oh, so. No. Facebook is the snitch. Facebook is the snitch. Think about it. It fits totally, doesn't it?
I know what you did last night.
Yeah, Facebook is the one who listens into everyone's secrets but then tells on everyone.
Yeah, constantly wants people to join in playing their Farmville.
Yeah. He constantly wants to be around people and hang around people and be sociable, but he's just a bit too conniving, so people don't really trust him.
Yeah. He's sick of getting bullied by Farm Simulator because Farm Simulator was the successor, basically, to Farmville. Yeah.
Generally, it's Sony going around trying to give wedgies to people. Sony tries to give wedgies to, like, Apple, but Apple's not having any of it and goes to tell the teacher, and Mr. PC has to then tell Sony off. But Sony then turns it around by saying, when I grow up, Mr. PC, I want to be just like you. I want to be modular.
Now, it's not about all the old ones, though. I've got this image of Nintendo being this, like, this young-looking one, but actually they're really, really old, and they're just using loads and loads of makeup, and every now and again the makeup will just fall off.
That's right. Actually a very good description.
You've been around forever.
No, actually, you could do that, but the thing is, because we're talking generations, why not make those like great-granddad Nintendo, who's somehow still alive, but it's only because they won't switch off life support, and then there's granddad Nintendo, and then there's Daddy Nintendo, who, you know, there's Daddy Nintendo, who basically worked a bit too hard and kind of and then kind of lost his job, so now he sits at home slouching around in his underpants, which would be the Wii U.
Don't forget Mini Nintendo, who's slightly shorter than normal, but doesn't turn up.
No,
because you know there's no stock.
Yes. Yes.
And this plight of them now, I think.
We should do this as a webcomic or something. I don't know.
You know what? I'll be right there writing it if we did that.
But there's a way we can do it to make millions of money.
Yes.
Do all of this, however, turn them all into cute schoolgirls.
No.
That'll make millions.
Or tanks.
Hang on, we're going to turn the consoles into tanks.
Yeah, I think that.
Why would we turn the consoles into tanks?
I don't know. I just realised this is just the plot of a Hyperdimension Neptunia, isn't it?
I think that we do have to say that this show was about consoles.
Yes, we are talking about video games still. But yeah, we are. I think we should call it a day there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been Press X. For more exciting jaunts into the world of our imaginations and the world of video games, join us next time for another fun-filled Choose Your Own Adventure. Until then, I have been Rob.
And I've been Andy.
And I'm going to go date a tank.
Yes. So we'll see you all later.